Welcome to Moon Harbor Heroes. Today's issue is Hatchlings, Part 3, A Faces Story. On the cover, we see the mansion silhouetted against the moonlit sky. Quetzal flies directly at the reader, holding tight to Sana. Close behind, Gargoyle leads a swarm of stone bats in chase. We turn the page and our story begins.
And then the statue points the staff at you, Sana, and twists the staff in kind of like a rotating of the wrist way, and you just start levitating up in the air. And like, no matter how much you try to move, like, you're in control of your limbs, you just can't get friction to propel yourself anywhere.
And Nubia's still fighting outside, so I think she wants to take a deep breath and look around, see what her magical options are, or just her options in general.
Awesome, go ahead and roll to assess for me.
10.
Alright, on a 10 you get to ask 2 from that list.
What gear can I use to stop the statue's hold over me?
Absolutely. So it really doesn't feel like you're like being held in the air. It feels like it like kind of just dropped you and like gravity is just not affecting you. The books are still swirling around you. You can probably use those to like push off and like propel yourself through the air.
Okay, and not quite sure how to use one of the other questions yet, so I think she's just going to do that of like reach for a book and grab it and like pull herself forward with it.
Perfect. Are you doing like the like grab the book and it's going to keep moving and you're going to get dragged behind it? Or are you going to like launch yourself off it? What does this look like?
I think launch myself off it.
Excellent. Are you going towards the statue, away from the statue, just like getting in a direction?
Do answers contingent on the answer to this question? Is the answer to how I can best end this quickly being get the staff? Because that's what she's thinking she wants to do. Go towards the statue, get staff.
I'll give you a little bit something more specific. So yes, you have to get the staff, but the best way to do that is probably going to be to break the stone hand. You have seen that this statue is pretty easily broken, like books flying are breaking it. Its grip is pretty firm on that staff. You're going to have to do something to break that hand to get the staff free.
Okay. I'm trying to think of what beyond, like, grab a book and start hitting.
As you're flying through the room, we'll get a pulled back panel to show you a little bit more of the room. There is a fireplace in the room, including like fireplace pokers and like shovels and that kind of thing. And there are also a handful of like busts of family members. Like, this is probably an ancestor, the statue itself, but there are other like busts of ancestors, friends, people in your like villainous legacy, that kind of thing.
Does Curse have one?
Curse does have one.
Yeah, she's gonna... She's kind of a sucker for symbolism, so she's gonna grab that and be like, Dad, you're gonna help me. For once.
And, I assume you're gonna go try to smash the hand with your father's head?
Yes.
Perfect. We get a panel of you flying towards the statue with your dad's bust in your hand. And then we turn the page and cut back to Nube, where we see that exact same panel mirrored. Only Nube is flying with the head of the manticore towards the other manticore.
I love it.
And you don't have to roll to directly engage a threat for this one. You can just take the other manticore down. So tell me what it looks like.
Nube just like explodes it, explodes the rock head into the other statue, and it just dusts everywhere, particles everywhere. There's rocks all over the floor. She's coughing a little bit. That was a smart idea of my dad. Very smart and good at this. I'm such a hero.
And the foyer is pretty empty. Like, the portraits are on the wall. Their eyes are still following you. And there are, like, there's electricity in this house. It's not like it needs to be lit by torches. But there are also torches for decoration. And those are all, like, lit. But for the most part, the lobby looks empty, and right in front of the library door, Gargoyle is standing again.
Hey, Gargoyle.
And it looks at you, and it's like, please, Nube, just don't leave. Just stay. Sana has to stay on the property. Sana has to stay here, so just stay.
She kind of, like, sits down next to Gargoyle, like, slumps down. You know she's not happy here, right? She's in pain. She's getting hurt by being here. We're only leaving so that she's not hurt anymore.
Gargoyle looks at you and nods. You can tell that it understands. And as it's nodding, it says, Sana cannot leave the property. Sana has to stay on the property. Sana has to stay here for the ritual.
I know. I know, buddy. I'll be gentle. And I grab Gargoyle and throw it away, but throw it where there's not, like, it's gonna get a wall. It's just gonna keep going. So maybe throw it against a couch or something, but get it out of the way.
Excellent. Yeah, it lands on, like, probably, like, a big, like, elaborate armchair.
And then I go in.
Perfect. And right as you walk in, Sana, you were swinging your dad's face at the hand of this statue. Tell me what that looks like.
I think she's like, is there still like weird anti-gravity stuff happening to her?
Yeah, but it kind of feels like you're locked to a certain plane, but you have full range of motion at this point. Like you can't go up or down, but you can move in any direction on that plane with the help of the books pretty easily.
Okay, so she's like holding it and she swings and she kind of misjudges her distance as she like yells out like, you're not keeping me here. No one's keeping me here anymore. And she just makes like a full rotation and then spins again as the like, as her dad's face hits the hand.
Go ahead and roll to directly engage for me.
Hey.
All right. And what do you want to do?
She wants to take something from them. She wants the staff and she wants the statue's hand destroyed.
The statue's hand shatters, as does your dad's face. And the staff falls, probably right into your outstretched hand there. And with that, like, you get to, like, gently fall towards the ground. You don't, like, crash. You just, like, slowly lower so your feet are on the ground. And then the statue behind you that had been beaten up by all the books and was, like, leaning forward to, like, swing at you loses its balance and topples towards you. Yube, you're in the doorway now.
Yeah, I am. I see this. If I see this, I'm gonna rush in and push her out of the way.
Go ahead and roll to defend for me.
That's a zero, so I'm sure this is gonna go great. That's a five.
Perfect. Nube, I'm gonna give you an option. You can either knock Sana out of the way and the statue's gonna land on you, or you can not get to Sana in time.
It lands on me.
Sana gets knocked out of the way and the statue just falls. And it doesn't crush you, but it definitely, like, hits hard and you get pinned underneath it. Nube, can you take a powerful blow for me?
Yeah, that's a nine.
Excellent. On a 7 or 9, you can choose one from that list.
Struggle past the pain. Let's mark two conditions. Let's mark insecure and guilty.
Perfect. And Sana, Nube is now trapped underneath this statue.
I think for the moment she's going to forget that she's holding a magical artifact and, like, push herself up and be like, Nube! And kind of crawl/run forward to get right next to her. Nube, are you okay? Please be okay.
I'm fine. I'm sorry. Oh, God. I was too slow. I'm sorry I left you alone. Oh, God. We're so close. I feel we're so close.
We're gonna get out of here together. It's going to be okay.
Okay. I'm having trouble moving this.
She's gonna, like, look down, like, somehow think, can I, like, lift up and help? And then she's gonna be like, wait, let me try something. And she's just going to see what channeling her power through the staff gets her. She knows that there's at least one gravity spell in here.
Perfect. Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers for me.
Oof.
Wow.
Oof.
If ever there was a time I didn't want that. Okay, that's experience.
That's a 4.
Excellent. And your plan was to use a gravity spell to lift it off, correct?
Yeah, that's what she's at the very least seen this.
Perfect. And Sana, I think you misjudge how much this is going to amplify your powers. Because as you, like, do that gravity spell, that statue doesn't just, like, float off Nube. It goes soaring and crashes through the ceiling above you. And keeps going all the way through the roof of the building. And there's a log moment, and then you all hear, like, a soft crash in the yard as the statue just, like, lands.
So, do you have everything you need? Nuwa's just crying, kinda, like, trying to pretend this is totally normal and okay.
She's got the statue in one hand, and she, like, holds out her hand to help Nuwa back up to her feet. And it's like, yeah, I think so.
Okay. And look, You made an exit strategy. Good job. She hugs you and starts flying through the hole you just made.
Before you can leave, Nubei, Sana, you feel something grab your ankle. And it's Gargoyle. And Gargoyle can't cry real tears, but there's, like, dust coming out of its eyes and, like, streaking on its face in a way that looks like crying. And it's like, Master says you have to stay here. Master says you can't leave the property.
Is there any way you can, I don't know, disrupt the connection it has with your dad, or...
She looks kind of actually really sad about this as she, like, points the staff down and sees what, like, a dispel will do. And she's like, I'm sorry, Gargoyle. I know you meant the best.
Excellent. Are you trying to, like, unanimate Gargoyle? Are you trying to, like, sever the connection? What are you doing there?
From what she can tell, there's, like, some immediate compulsions on Gargoyle as far as what Gargoyle's immediate orders are. I think she'd rather not, like, unanimate / murder Gargoyle, but she'd definitely rather Gargoyle stop feeling compelled to hold on to her ankle.
Valid. Go ahead and... Weirdly, I think this is a provoke.
Wow. Oof. Okay, more EXP for me.
That's like, what, 3 experience you've gotten so far?
Y'all started with such good rolls. So that was a 5 for anyone listening. As you, like, try to convince it through this, like, magical persuasion there with the staff, there's a moment where its eyes soften, and then its eyes dramatically harden, and it looks at Nubei, and in a very different, like, less timid voice, it says, "This is all your fault." And it launches directly at Nubei's wings. Nubei, what do you want to do?
I mean, if it's not holding Sana anymore, we're flying out of here.
Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
Okay, that's 1. That's a 5.
Oh, God. Manticore, stone statue of my ancestor, fine.
Gargoyle.
And you do lift off the ground, and then Gargoyle tackles the two of you. And I think it tackles the two of you hard enough that there's like a big stained glass window in this library, because of course there is. And all three of you just go tumbling out of this stained glass window and sliding down the roof and then falling into the yard below. And I think for dramatic purposes, you all land in like a garden. I think it's a garden of like a lot of plants that can be used to make like magical curses and things of that nature. So some of them look familiar, some of them look foreign, some of them look alien. It is kind of a beautiful, eclectic mix of flowers and plants. As you all are falling, you notice that the dome is gone. The only thing really left in your way, it seems like, is Gargoyle. And as Gargoyle looks up from where it hit the ground, its face isn't the, like, soft, gentle face you saw earlier. It looks more like traditional Gargoyle, like, snarling and wings extended and very ready to take you down.
If I hold on to Gargoyle, you think you can try again?
I'm gonna have to.
Okay, here I go. And yeah, I'm gonna try to basically piccolo this. Like, try to get behind Gargoyle and hold on to them.
Awesome. I think you're strong enough, fast enough, that you can just do that.
Cool.
And Sana, you are now in front of Gargoyle.
She's gonna hold the staff and she's gonna be like, "I asked for this, please, just let us go." And she's gonna try casting the same spell again, and I really hope the dice are nicer to me this time.
Perfect. I think this time it's gonna be an unleash your powers.
Okay, I'm gonna just roll with my +0 and then see where this goes.
That's a 10!
Perfect. Gargoyle immediately softens. Not like not made of stone, but like facial, animalistic softening. And in a really small voice it says, "Sana must stay on the property." And then it looks at you and it mouths the word "go." And then it just slumps over.
Nubei immediately moves towards Sana and goes, "We have to go. I'm sorry. We don't have time. We have to go before anyone else gets here."
She nods and, like, hugs Nubei. And then this is, like, just a full-on, like... Yeah, she's just hugging Nubei. It's like, let's do it. And she kind of just buries her head in Nubei's shoulders.
Nubei wraps her arms tightly against her and then starts flying away.
Perfect. We cut from there, and there's an editor's note that says, a few weeks later. It's now been some time, and you all have had the chance to settle into a location, a routine, whatever you would like to say for that. Where do the two of you end up? Like, where are you living? That kind of situation.
What do you think?
I think a lot of, like, what Sana actually knows is, she's really good with the kind of non-combat, like, illusion-y and more enchantment. So she might have used that to, like, forge herself a license and some, and an identity enough that we can, like, maybe get a cheap apartment and hide out there for a little bit while Sana works on, like, a costume for herself and figuring out what she wants to do now. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, plus Nube has contacts. They're criminals, but some people will be willing to at least point to the right direction or lend her some money or find, like, a safe place for her, at least keep the scent off Curse, so Curse doesn't know where we are.
Excellent. Go ahead and describe, like, what does your living room look like?
So, you can tell me I'm wrong, but I like the idea of them being in, like, a tiny, tiny-ass apartment, in, like, a one-room, one-bathroom apartment, basically.
Is there only one bed?
Yes, there's only one bed. I think the first night Nube offered the floor, like, offered to sleep on the floor. But yeah, I don't know. What did Sana say?
I feel like maybe that is what happened, and Sana sort of nodded like she's too, like, exhausted and out of it by the ridiculousness of what they did. But then sort of in the middle of the night, Sana's also on the floor next to Nube.
I think by now we have settled to, like, well, it's one bed. We should both lay in the bed. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's what we woke up and talked about.
But yeah, I imagine it's like, it's one bedroom / living room / mini kitchen, and then a bathroom.
Perfect.
Living room maybe has the rattiest old couch from the previous tenant.
Fantastic.
There's like half a desk somewhere.
What does half a desk look like?
You take a desk, cut it in half in the middle, and it's laying against the wall.
Fantastic. Did you all decorate in any way? I know, like, Sana's previous room was barren of posters, very, like, minimalist. Is it still kind of minimalist here, or have you all, like, personalized the place a little bit?
I think Nube, whenever she can, she sneaks away to, shoplift some posters of Sana's favorite, like, comic books and characters and magical girls.
Yeah, I think that sounds pretty good.
And also, that lets me clear a condition because of my move blowing off steam. So I no longer feel guilty.
Perfect. In the world of Moon Harbor, is Curse a, like, villain that, like, makes news, or is Curse more of a, like, works in the shadows kind of villain there?
I think most of the time he's working in the shadows, and then every now and then he'll just decide, like, the thing I want is in a building, I'm just going to explode the entire roof off and get it. So he's not a constant threat, but he's a known threat.
There's a news report, as you all are, like, in your apartment one night a couple weeks later, from someone who is reporting that Curse has been seen, like, flying, maneuvering around the city. He hasn't made any big moves, but we don't see him on panel. But there is, like, someone on the radio or on the TV being like, Curse is somewhere. Curse is moving. He has been seen, which means he's being reckless. And you all hear that news while you are together in this apartment.
I think, like, she's not even thinking about it. This is not a conscious thing. But her arm is immediately around Sana. She hasn't even realized it yet, like, pulling her close against her.
Sana leans into that. She looks a bit pale, and then she's like, and then she thinks for a bit, and she's like, you know, I did want to be a hero. I have been having another terrible idea. And also, there was something I wanted to show you.
Okay. And I think that's the moment she realizes she has her arm around you and immediately moves it. Show me.
I think she's going to get into the, or just stand up, like, in the middle of the room and kind of twirl the staff around, sort of like a color guard, like, baton. And then I think these, like, spiders are going to show up at the head of the staff and start walking along her skin. And they're these little, like, white ethereal spiders, and you see in the creepiest magical girl transformation, the spider spin like a dress for her and one go up and like tie her hair behind her.
Hell yeah.
And this mask shows up on her face and she's just like, how do I look?
You look beautiful. Amazing. You look amazing. you look amazing.
And that's going to make her smile and like kind of break the superhero facade for a second. She's like, I think it'll be easier to deal with him like this.
Yeah. Should I get a mask? I wasn't masked before. Should I put like a paper bag over my head?
You're my hero, whatever you wear.
I think Nuba blushes.
And in that silence there's like a... The TV is still on. Or radio, whatever the case would be that you were listening to the news on. And you hear a voice say, oh, there's an armed robbery in progress downtown. Someone is holding up a convenience store. And, like, the news reporter seems really concerned.
Nuve looks at Sana. So, you ready to be a hero?
Sana hugs her quickly and is like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, yeah. She was, like, a little bit, the hug, like, took her out and, like, yes, yeah, mm-hmm, let's go. And she, like, it takes a second for her to be like, oh, wait, I'm the go. I'm the one who takes it. Yeah, come over here. And hugs you again and starts flying. Or, like, I guess we open the shitty balcony we have, which is, like, half a balcony and looks like it's falling. Okay, let's go.
And we get this panel of the two of you flying off into the night. And then we turn the page, and we get a editor's note that says, some time ago. And this is the day that the two of you met.
I think Nube, who wasn't going by Nube at the time here, has, like, not a full beard, but enough stubble there. She didn't care what she looked like, really. She had, like, a ratty t-shirt and a pair of, like, torn-up jeans, and her wings are out. Actually, no, her wings are, like, retracted, kind of hidden. As she's next to Curse, as he's introducing them.
You know, I think Sana's dressed kind of like a prep school kid, but with, like, slacks and a collared shirt, except it's all just pure black with some red accents. And she's kind of got her head down and is letting her dad, like, give the assignment.
And I think, like, Curse says, like, Nube's dead name, or Nube's... Probably, like, this is the son of Aguila, and you can see Nube visibly flinch when the word... Both when the word son and when Aguila's name gets mentioned. Like, visibly, uncomfortably flinch, but she tries to hide it.
I do think he probably says the dead name, but it's in the, like, text of the page, and it's just censored, like, it's redacted. So, like, we don't hear it, and the audience never knows what it is.
Yeah.
That's ideal. Yeah. It's a way to handle it.
Yeah, I think she says, kind of in a quiet voice, like, I go by Quetzal. I mean, at least I'm thinking of going by Quetzal for my villain name. Yeah.
It's pretty. Hi, I'm Sana. Wait, my dad already said that, but hi.
She smiles. Hi, Sana. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Can we be friends?
Yeah. I'm your bodyguard. I'm here to protect you. Of course I'll be your friend.
That makes her smile, especially since I feel like this conversation happens after her dad goes off to do some evil paperwork or something.
He is, like, almost out of the room, like, walking up the stairs towards, like, his study. And he turns back and he's like, Sana, take our guest on a tour. Show Quetzal everything. Start with the library. That's a good place to start.
You got interest in books in here?
Yeah, just don't read any of them without asking either me or father which ones are cursed.
Please don't look down on me for this, but I'm not much of a reader other than comic books.
Father doesn't ever let me have those. He says they're a waste of time and brains.
I could get you some.
Really?
Yeah, between us.
Yeah.
Don't wanna make your father angry. Mostly at you. I could probably handle it. She says, kinda putting fake bravado on.
Yeah, no, we'll keep it secret. He's not gonna get angry at either of us. Come on, I'll show you around.
Yes, please.
And we get a panel of the two of you pushing the door open to the library, and then on the adjoining page, we get a shot from inside the library as the door gets pushed open. And we don't see Curse's face, but we see, like, his feet walking across this, like, darkened library floor. And he leans down to where, like, half of his bust is. And he picks it up. And there's a long moment of silence. And then it explodes into dust in his hands. And with that, our issue comes to an end. Moon Harbor Heroes is produced by Icy Sheets, TP Huth, Elliot Peterson, and Sean Geddes, and edited by Icy Sheets and Sean Geddes. Icy, they, them, can be found on Twitter at Icy New Year or at icynewyear.com. T or Tess, she or her or they, them, can be found on Twitter and Instagram at tphuth94. That's TPHUTH94. Elliot, she, her, or they, them, can be found at Elliot Yulen on Twitter. That's ELLIOTYLEN. Sean, any pronouns, can be found at The Crumpet on Twitter. That's THECRUMPIT. This issue was GM'd by Icy Sheets. Portia was played by Satya Amira Omer, she, her. Satya is a transbian with too many feelings and can be found at SatyaV20 on Twitter. That's SatyaV20. Quetzal was played by Fabi Garza, she, her. Fabi is a games writer, podcaster, sensitivity consultant, and the cutest bear girl in the world. She can be found at Fabi Garza on Twitter and as a member in Eidolon Playtest. Fabi Garza is FABBY_GARZA. Void Viper is played using the custom playbook The Bonded, written by Lauren Peterson, he, him. Lauren is the GM for Nerds on a Roll, where The Bonded was first introduced. You can find him at DM_LSP on Twitter and at DMLSP.itch.io. You can find Nerds on a Roll at NOAR_podcast on Twitter. Lighthammer/Requiem was played using the custom playbook The Persona, written by Kyle Rawlings of 5 Point Games. You can find Kyle, they, them, or he, him, on Twitter at 830toAwesome or at 5pointsgames.itch.io. 830toAwesome is the numbers 830 and then the words 2 awesome. You can find The Bonded and The Persona at the link in the show notes. The music in this issue is Black Vortex by Kevin MacLeod. A link to his website and the license will be in the show notes. Moon Harbor Heroes is played using Masks A New Generation, written by Brendan Conway and produced by Magpie Games, and other games by independent creators. Our logo was designed by Beautiful Beasties. She can be found on Instagram at beastly.doodles or on Patreon at patreon.com/beautifulbeasties. For updates and more information, find us on Twitch and YouTube by searching for Moon Harbor Heroes or follow us on Twitter at Moon Harbor Cast. If you want to contact us, DM us on Twitter or email us at moonharborheroes@gmail.com. If you enjoyed this issue, please leave us a review on your podcatcher of choice or tell a friend. 5-star reviews and word of mouth are really the best way to keep bringing these stories to more people. And thank you for helping us save the world. We'll see you next issue.